Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Some people think that Kate really has a drinking problem and she is spilling all of the sex tea. Luke doesn't have a clue. Plus, we got Mike back in the building and he has some planning to do. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
That was awesome. I love Lucy is my favorite show of all time. I don't think anybody could actually beat me at I Love Lucy trivia.
Really?
I'm a really good, yeah.
Well, we're not talking about I Love Lucy. We're talking about Married at First Sight, man. Season 8, Episode 12. Yes. We got like what, one more episode left before the D-Day, right?
D-Day, honey.
Or is next week D-Day?
Next week D-Day. Next week is D-Day technically, but we'll see. Anyway, you are at the after show and the after party here at Married at First Sight, After Buzz TV, all that good stuff. We have so much to talk about. We obviously have to talk about Kate and Luke because that whole scenario. We'll rate these couples. Everybody loves to drop the ratings in the live chat, and we'll have our gold star award. But before we do all of that, I'd love for my lovely panel to introduce themselves and give your overall thoughts. Hello.
Hey, guys. I'm Carmen, a.k.a. Eartha Kitt.
Yes.
We need this voice today.
Catwoman. Yeah. What's up, guys? Mike's back. I'm here.
You have some explaining to do.
Okay, yes. Now we'll get into it. Overall thoughts. This episode was Kate and Luke, and almost everybody else kind of didn't matter. It's akin to, if everything is going great, then it's not good reality TV, so who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
I don't have a voice, but I had to be here to hear
what you have opinions.
I had to say because I have several opinions. And we need this battle of the wits today.
So. Oh, yeah.
It's on.
So many people in the live, everybody in the live chat, I told them to be sure to come back and to put their questions in live chat because we have a couple to address. So we'll have a mic segment.
I'm watching the live chat.
Mike is so special.
And I'm Takira Shabre. I'm not going to forget to introduce myself today.
Good job, Takira Shabre.
Thank you for joining us. Let's get into Christine and Keith. They were like the easiest ones for this episode. They're all in love and they have this nice little 70s porn champagne glass jacuzzi.
It was so like shag worthy. Like they're about to shag.
Yeah, for sure.
Shagging.
For sure. We got a good look at the bottom of their feet. Every time when I see or hear about these champagne hot tubs in hotel rooms, I just think like 70s. I feel like that hotel hasn't been redone in a long time because they can't possibly be making new versions of these hot tubs.
Were they like in the Poconos somewhere?
Sure.
It's like definitely like old school Poconos.
Yeah, it really is. This is like honeymoon.
Right.
I sprung for the honeymoon suite and it comes with this weird champagne hot tub. You gotta climb the steps in the back just to get into it. And it's very awkward to get out. Yeah.
I loved it.
It was sexy. Come on.
Yeah,
but
I loved it.
I saw so many people on Twitter saying, oh my gosh, Christine and Keith, K&K, they were so cute. Saraya Ray just posted in live chat. Hello, girlfriend. saying they were so cute and they're just really growing with one another. A lot of people are saying Keith is showing the most growth.
Yes.
Carmen, you said that off air.
Yes.
I mean, what do you guys think of them as a couple? And I guess at this point, how their interaction is as far as D-Day goes. Because a lot of D-Day conversation this time around.
I still think that Christine wears the pants in this relationship. Mm. And Keith is comfortable with that. But I think Keith is a grower. Not the sexual kind, the mental kind. Meaning that he is willing to make the changes. I think he was really in this to be a good husband. Mm-hmm. And if they get a divorce, I won't understand why. The only thing that concerns me about them is what's going to happen when bill time comes and they really have to handle the responsibility of real marriage in real life.
Taking care of business.
I just don't know like how that's going to affect them. But other than that, it seems like sunshine and
Mike was shaking your head no. What was she shaking your head no about?
Then she said he was a grower, not a shower. No, that's all. No,
Men.
Sorry. I don't see anything wrong with them. I wouldn't have anything negative to say. Again, it's made for like a boring episode for them because everything seems fantastic. So good. I don't see any of the conflict. He even went out of his way to say that after the little mini moon that he tried to take away some cooking tips from Luke. And like, that was his big thing that he doesn't cook. So it's like, okay, great. Even in his tiny segment on the show, he's learning and growing. So just nothing really to say about them. They're doing fantastic.
He doesn't love her. Yeah. Which is kind of realistic, though. Like, do you fall in love in 1 month?
That's a great question. I mean, it's different for every single couple, right? Love is an odd thing. I also feel like they're probably holding some of that back in the edit because we're going to see in the last episode, you know, it's come to me, I've fallen in love with you, and will you marry me? You know, so.
Really?
You think? I think probably. Maybe not necessarily for them, but that's a potential thing because they've got to keep some kind of tension going with these couples, right? If it truly is all sunshine and rainbows, then what's the point of watching it? So the only thing left for them, kind of, is that they haven't said they love each other. We see in the preview that they're not in love. I can't say I'm in love with her, but we also don't know the context of that conversation and things. So I think that's the only thing they keep going.
Mike is just reaching for this edit thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do see the edit in, you know, certain scenarios.
It's something.
Just because we're in the business. But, go ahead.
What about, like, Keith seems really happy with Christine. Do we think Christine is as happy with Keith?
She was a little blah this episode. Like, she was really indecisive. She gave that indecisive vibe when they were in the jacuzzi. Was I the only one that picked that up?
It was kind of like, we'll see.
I thought that was a convenient... convenient face, too. To me, that was a couple champagne flutes down and just kind of like Daisy into what he was saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did anyone else...
I think they're about it.
I thought it was hilarious that they gave... Keith was like, oh, you're going to fall in love with Luke for his cooking. And she was like, yeah, he tried to slide over and I ducked off. And I was like, in the back of my head, I was like, I don't know, girl. You're exactly what Luke needs. So clearly, Mike getting a little rise out of
it. Hey, Tamika's got my back in the chat. I feel like they're contractually obligated to not say I love you until decision day.
Right.
I don't know. Stranger things would have happened in television land.
They might. I mean, this whole, like, how much do they get paid? Do they get paid? If they, like, all of that conversation. I mean, there might be a little NDA action where they're you cannot give your decision. You cannot allude to your decision until the very last episode. Because otherwise, if they're like, oh, I got it. I'm in love. It gives it away. Why show? So that's a really good point. Thank you to everyone in the live chat. Yes. You guys, we've said it time and time and time again. You are literally our extended panel. The comments, the questions, the live chat is just all, we love it. And we love you guys. And because of that, we just have a little favor to ask because we love what we do. So, Carmen, take it away. Or maybe Mike, anyone that loves.
Yeah, you know, this week, yesterday, was my second time doing the Seeking Sister Wife after show, which, of course, is a show about polygamous couples. I like to say that everybody here at AfterBuzz, you guys are just in a polygamous relationship with all of us on shows because we're not monogamous here. You guys can watch all the different shows that AfterBuzz has in store, and we cover shows from every single genre, every single TV show you guys could possibly want. So, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. Subscribe to all the AfterBuzz channels. Give us a big thumbs up. And if you're listening to us on iTunes or anywhere else you listen to podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating. Make sure you put some comments down. Let us know that you did so in the comments so that we can give you a great shout out because we love you. And working here at AfterBuzz allows me to talk about reality TV, which I'm not allowed to discuss at home with my wife. So thank you so much for giving me an outlet here to talk about this stuff.
I think that was in the NDA too, right? Like with your wife. It was like, hey,
talk about this at home. Yeah. She won't admit that she likes it, but it'll be on in the background. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, she'll come back in and be like, well, remember Kate said this and Luke did. And I was like, how do you remember this stuff? I don't remember it. So she secretly likes it.
Yeah, I think so. I think one thing that kind of leads me to believe is that Will is kind of secretly... I don't even know if it's a secret, not liking jazz.
Man, it's a cold, wintry night in there.
It's Game of Thrones in their house. Ooh,
it's
winter's
like,
here.
It's winter like is thick.
Game of Thrones. And I don't want to jump into Kate and Luke any sooner.
No.
But I will say, no, I'll save it. Jasmine, let's just say she is maybe a little, not too frustrated that they haven't had sex, but she's kind of seeming like she's leading down to saying.
I think she's extremely frustrated. That they haven't had sex.
I guess it's just this episode she didn't like lose it. And I'm expecting her to be like, you know what? Mm. Look, D-Day is tomorrow. And D-Day needs to be tonight also.
Right.
Because think about it. If you were going to decide if you wanted to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want to know what the sex is like. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You guys got the innuendos going tonight really hard. You're talking about D-Day. You're talking about grower.
I mean, come on. I mean,
look,
Go for it.
I don't understand from last episode. She had her girls on display in that outfit. She looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. They did the minute-long kiss challenge. It's making me feel weird that, like, I want to make out with my wife all the time. And, like, I wanted to sleep with her the second I saw her. Like, I'm starting to feel weird now that I was, like, so into it. So it seems extremely weird. Also, if you're Will, I'm all about honesty, but... If you have any inkling of keeping this woman around, you don't make out with her for a minute and then be like, yeah, I don't, like, yeah, that was pretty awkward. I was like, what?
He went fast with the phone. And I know we mentioned that last week, that he went for the phone, obviously, really, really quick.
Yes.
But tonight, I mean, tonight's episode, he tried to give a comment. Like, he was like, I don't know, this lighting is just, you are glowing.
And she shot it down, like, oh, you're trying to get cool points. Like, just be like, oh, thank you, baby.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Their car ride was so awkward, too. They're still reeling from the result of this kiss challenge thing. It's not, that was a huge blow to her.
I have a quick question on this comment. Because, Mike, as a guy, if you are constantly, I think so. You're a very guyly guy. A fairly manly man. If you're constantly giving comments to a woman and she's just like, there's no thank you, it's kind of like that, I'll stop. You're just trying to blah, blah, blah. Are you turned off at all to not give any more comments, or is it?
I think it depends on the sincerity of the woman who's brushing you off. It's because some people are really, really bad at taking a compliment. Right? It's sometimes really, really tough. Yeah. But I don't think that's the way Jasmine is or what she's responding to with this right here. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, still repercussions of the terrible kiss thing that went on and how she felt about that. And then broadening it out, how she feels about the whole relationship, because the intimacy thing is a really, really big thing to her. We've known from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They haven't made it to that level. So if you're not at that level, I can understand, you know, why are you complimenting me all of a sudden? It's almost obvious.
Forced.
It feels like you're trying to get back in good graces and she's not having it.
Okay.
A little bit.
I don't want to just be so team Will that I just get chewed out all the time. Yeah. But like, I think that if it was the chemistry was there and they were just like, let's wait because it's too soon, it would be different. But I think that she's acknowledging that there's no chemistry. You know what I'm saying? And I had to look at it from a different point of view. Will has been hurt before. Maybe he's afraid that she's going to turn him down on D-Day. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe
he doesn't
want to have sex with her in case she decides to leave him.
There's two really good comments. I was about to say two really good things in the chat. Tamika Francis says, listen, Jasmine said they tried to have sex and it didn't work out. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trying to find who said it. Oh, it's Ray Ray says, I think it was awkward on Unfiltered when Jasmine said they don't really kiss.
Ugh. That's extremely awkward.
What's this whole try to have sex thing? Like, at what level do you guys think, like, it went? Crickets.
Wow. I think she probably tried to initiate it and he sloshed her off.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's as dirty as it might be made out to sound.
I don't think he was aroused.
Mm.
I think he is, like, too much worried about how he's going to look, maybe. And he feels pressured, and he doesn't want to feel like a porn star. Like, oh, we got to have sex for the show. That's what I think.
Well, he looks terrible right now.
It looks bad.
If your woman is trying so hard, she's trying hard.
Yeah.
Like, the little outfits and stuff. I mean, she's really putting in effort. Look, at the end of the day, if they're treating this like a legitimate relationship and a legitimate marriage, let's mm-hmm. give them the benefit of the doubt that it's not TV and all that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You cannot stay married to somebody successfully if your sex and intimate life is not on par. If you guys aren't matching up and if you're not compatible. It's just true.
But what about people who wait until they're married? Is it that they show intimacy, so like passion?
People still do that?
So yeah, people absolutely passion. Yeah, yeah. People absolutely do that.
But it's passion. Here's
what I think. I think there's multiple schools of thought on it. Passion is one. I think a lot of people who wait until they're married do so for religious reasons, mm-hmm. a big chunk of them.
Right.
And also within those religious communities, it's highly looked down upon to get divorced. So I think they have different values where because of their religion, because of their religious views, because of the other values, the intimacy is not as important, and they wouldn't let the lack of it get in the way of their marriage, the commitment, the vows that they've made. Mm. I don't think it's that with these couples, and so that's why it's worrisome that you can't even, I mean, look, if you can't even make out with your wife for like 10 minutes straight,
it's a problem.
It's not right. Yeah. You don't have to have sex. Yeah. I get it. That there could be a lot of pressure, cameras and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I can make out with my wife right now on camera, like no problem, and forget everybody's there. So
even Raquel? If they're not having sex, I feel like it could a kiss could get so passionate.
Yes,
he can get aroused. She can get moist. I mean, I'm not trying to be like super explicit.
Not lying.
But you can have all of that
of course.
Still not have sex and still know, okay, this it's is going to be worth it.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Because
they're not at that.
The other thing, too, a lot of the people.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife is watching. Oh, should I share?
Hey.
I'm thankful for you, the love we have, and the life we have. Oh, I love you, dear.
On.
I love you. Okay, okay.
Hey, but, Mrs. Staley. Hey.
Let me get to the next level with that. A lot of times when they're waiting for marriage, they're also virgins. So they don't know.
It's
I mean, if they don't know any better. I don't know, you know, no
it's
judgment,
mutual.
But they kind of don't know any difference. So for them, the sex is probably fantastic because they don't know any difference. And that's the connection.
I know a lot of people that are celibate right now that have had sex in the past. And it's not a religious thing. It's more of a self-respect and self-determination.
Sure.
And more of a, you're kind of proving that you're worth more. And they just...
Yeah,
I mean, like someone I know has been celibate for 6 years.
A girl or a guy?
A girl.
And
the guy that the last guy that she dated was celibate too, and he had been celibate for a year and a half, and they got together. Yeah, they got together, and they didn't have that passion. But she was dating someone else that was celibate, and they did have that passion without the sex.
Are they waiting for marriage or just the right time?
Marriage.
Okay.
But see, here's the thing. Dang it.
But at the end of the day, those celibate people knew that because of the passion that it would be good
that,
and they had the experience and they can make out and they can do 100%. All that kind of stuff besides intercourse and they know that it's going to be good once
tell.
They get to the
you
next
know
level
that
right.
chemistry is there when it's missing it's not and those people chose each other those people were attracted to each other
That's
for
right.
a reason these
That's
people
right.
did not choose each other
right
yeah
placed together So they just dealing with what they had, trying to make the best of it.
100%. They slightly touch on D-Day before we move on to the next couple. And Will told the guys that he's 50-50 and that Will said he told Jasmine that he's 50-50 and we're not just talking finances. He's like literally his decision on D-Day. And he said that she didn't really have a response. She kind of just... I don't believe that one bit.
I take honesty over somebody BSing me just for a TV show any day.
Honesty is fantastic, but if it's truly at a 50-50 with a week, 5 days, whatever it is left to make a decision,
it's
is.
A week.
That's that's 50-50 is really bad odds for staying with your wife.
Well, no, I meant like at 6 weeks. To me, that's like.
Look, okay.
Well, you only got 7 weeks, so...
Here's a better question. Is Determination Day if that's what it actually stands for, right?
Yeah.
Decision day. decision day. Determination day sounds better. if it truly is on decision day, are we going to stay married for life or are we going to continue this relationship? Because let's be honest, you could get divorced 2 months after D-Day, right? Okay, so what is the actual question that you're asking on D-Day?
The actual question that they have to answer is if they are going to stay married or get divorced that moment.
So then there's...
They say that they're going to stay married doesn't mean that 2 years, 1 year, one day that they can't get divorced.
Of course.
I think a heavy question that they have to consider is, and Steph brought it up in this episode. I want to hear what you guys think. Do you think that they should base D-Day on the past seven weeks, or the potential of the relationship and where it could go?
The potential, I think.
I don't know that you can separate the two, because the potential is completely determined by what happened in the past 7 weeks. And the way you describe it right there is perfect. It's not you're not deciding for life. You're deciding, is there stuff here to continue on with this relationship? Because they're married, one way or the other. Right now, they're married. Mm-hmm. So it's really, do you want to stay on and keep working at it? And I feel like to be that far along, to be 50-50 is really bad. And you know at that point if you want to keep going and exploring it or not.
And I feel like, honestly, I feel like everyone on this show should say, well, I don't know about Kate and Luke, but I feel like they can easily say, okay, we're going to stay married, and then figure out what life is really like for another 7 weeks
without cameras. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
And then it's like at that 14th week,
that is
have
so
another
necessary.
D-Day.
That is
plus,
so
you're
necessary.
Never going to get on Happily Ever After if you guys say no at D-Day. Just saying. Get the next show.
It's so necessary to say, you know, this is off to a good start. Or, you know, if you really wanted to be married at first sight, you would stick in it when the cameras aren't around.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
If you really did.
100%. Yeah.
Because
I think
everything isn't going to be promised to show up at once. Some things do take longer. Mm-hmm. I've dated in the past one of my boyfriends when we first met. For the first 6 months, we kind of dated, and I did not think I was going to take him that seriously. And then, you know, I kind of opened up to him and just fell in love with him, you know? So things don't always start with fireworks. And sometimes things that start really hot, they burn out really quickly.
Ooh, that's a really
Absolutely.
Good segue
you know
into a nice segue into our next person.
I'd like to bring something up super quick because Mr. Aliwada in the chat, here in the chat. What up? Evidently has a drinking game going on with our after show because he just took a shot. And I would love to know what the actual rules of the game are. So if you could type that into chat
so that
we know, my friend, because we have got at least one more episode. And I don't know. Stuff happens at AfterBuzz next week, potentially. Please let us know.
I'm pretty down to play it on air. Share it with us. Please do. We will approve all rules. But starting high and having a really bad low is our good friend, AJ.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, Mike.
I thought we weren't going to talk about them today.
AJ and Steph. Oh, no. They were a little, not too boring this episode, but we do have some things that we need to address. So I really, truly think that Steph is in this for marriage. Mm-hmm. I think she's literally one of the two, possibly three, that are really in this for marriage. So we see AJ talk to Luke and the guys and all of that. And we see Steph talking to the girls, and she says, quote, "You've seen him. He just blows up," end quote. And
he doesn't hide how he feels.
And he doesn't hide how he feels. So they're having a real conversation. And what do we think of them for this episode? And then I want to spend a couple of minutes kind of revisiting our AJ supporter over here about last week.
So
this week, anything? It was really...
I just feel like AJ is trying to have as much sex with Steph as he can before she figures out that he's off. I think he hasn't had sex or dinner with somebody in so long that he's like, oh, I am going to wear this out. I'm going to have the most consensual sex that I can.
He hasn't had sex or dinner with
him. He brought that damn dinner up again.
It's like, I don't know.
What'd you think this episode,
They were
Mike?
Boring to me this episode.
Okay,
nothing
cool.
Nothing really
it was pretty
outlandish or anything happened. It was very normal. The most interesting thing to me was who was that dude giving the motivational speech at dinner. That was very awkward
like,
and random.
I thought
they were great and super happy. I liked that AJ was so surprised that Luke and Kate haven't talked about D-Day. That to me shows that he's into it. He wants to talk about it with his wife, and it makes a lot of sense.
All right. What doesn't make a lot of sense, what a lot of people would say, is the fact that, let's revisit last week a little bit. Mm-hmm. AJ blew the heck up, slapped Luke on the butt, and act a little surprised that they were sitting together. Let's address first things first. My issue with AJ last week was that he was sitting at the same table as everyone else.
Right.
Talking about this mini moon, walked in, blew up, and acted so surprised and fake, might I add, that he was staying with everyone. Mike, how do you address that?
I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, right? But I honestly, honestly feel that it's all in the edit. I really feel like for him, they're pulling stuff for him, because give specifics.
Okay,
when he stepped into the house, he was like, "What are you doing in my house?" Like, obviously, it's not his house, right? He's just joking around. And then he went and got drunk and slapping Luke on the ass and stuff. To me, I was like, "That's funny." All these people in the house are really boring and like, whatever. I was like, "He's just turning up a little bit." Like, drunk. You've been stupid and saying dumb things. It's like, he's having fun.
I'll cut him a little slack. Because, yeah, you do get drunk with your friends and act really silly.
I thought he was having fun.
But what really bothered me was that he said he got drunk and just got online one night. Like, wife sounds good.
That's what I thought everybody was really going to be upset about. Yeah. So just to finish off on before, I thought he was just having a good time. To me, it wasn't very offensive. And he just got drunk and everybody's like, ugh. But everybody in there is so boring to me that he was just having a good time. Okay, now, specifically about applying to be... Oh, here we go. Everybody...
Get him! Disagree!
Go!
Okay, disagree, that's fine.
Let's
him being drunk and applying for the show. That's what I thought... And that's what you're referencing, right? That's what I thought everybody was going to blow up about. Again, I don't think it's that crazy. I think you had probably 10 more thousand people apply to this show. So many of them, I guarantee you, did it on just a whim. Hey, this be a kooky experience. Like, what the hell? I'll go for it. I'm single. And I think that's probably what it is. I doubt that he got home from some night of partying and was like, I'm on Google, and Married at First Sight came up. He was like, yep, apply. He probably been thinking about it for a while, and then he just like got a little liquid courage. He's like, what the hell? I'll go for it. Again, I just think it's in the edit. And because I honestly feel like he's
his
a good
wife
dude.
His wife left the room. She was so embarrassed by him.
My wife could get embarrassed by me being drunk and being...
Very much so.
I'm so loud, my wife is telling me to be quiet all the time. Like, I don't think it's a big deal.
I'm gonna read a supporter of yours. Meg Blue Shift Eyes. Not crazy eyes.
You're beautiful, Meg.
I said, I thought they edited it too. I think they only showed the inappropriate Jackson cut, all the smirks when he said something rude, like, what are you doing in my house?
I mean, look, he slapped Luke on the ass and
what about that? Hey, like,
Luke, are you kidding me? Like, Luke acted like he was so appalled. Dude, bro, like, come on, man. I know you're not in a frat, but like, you want to smack me in the butt right now? Like, who cares? They're in a cabin, like, on a vacation. Chill out.
He doesn't know him. He said, are you a top or a bottom?
He's making fun of him. Like, I would razz my friends. To me, I'm like, oh, cool, like, they're buddies. I don't know. I just don't get offended by that stuff.
It's
the distinction. It's like the on and off that bothers me about him. It's like the hot and cold, like the left and the right. There's no blending of the two AJs. There's just like this AJ and then this AJ. And it just switches. This is weird.
I have one last one that I want us to bring up.
Am I tripping, guys? Let me know if I'm tripping.
I don't think you are. But last one before we move on. I do want to bring up the fact that he told Will pretty much like, don't piss me off. Don't go against me because he'll really piss me off.
I won't like you or something
that. Is it foreshadowing anything we need to worry about, Mike?
Everybody's going to hate me. I don't think so, because literally, if you would let the camera roll for another second and he busted out laughing and Will did too, you'd be like, oh, okay, cool. I just like, to me, everybody there is being so square. You're tied up in a tiny little cabin. I think AJ cannot want to be off camera enough. I think he's had it with the show.
He has his
wife. I don't think he 100% was thinking about what he signed up for to be on camera all the time. I'm not going to keep plugging my other show, but on Seeking Sister Wife, the co-panelists with me are one of the families on the show. Mm-hmm. You hear them talk about how long they film.
All day.
All day, 4 or 5 days a week. It's intense. I don't think he was ready. I just think he's tired of the stupid cameras already. And he probably drank a little too much and he was letting loose.
But every time he's tired of the stupid whatevers, he goes off.
Yeah,
Every time. I
have to say, I really appreciate your insight. And someone else in the chat does. Crystal Grid Art says, this is a normal American man's perspective he's sharing. I appreciate you.
I just think he's like broing out. I don't know. To me, it looks like he's having a good time. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I wanted to say. No matter what you think of all this stuff, what I don't understand are people online thinking, what, like, Steph, watch out. Like, his behavior is going to turn into him, like, smacking her or something like that.
It looks scary like that to me.
I'm not going to lie. When he flips out and the fact that she says it, I can't lie.
When he completely loses his patience. He's like, let me do this. I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
We were talking about this before.
I said,
if you are in Los Angeles and you're driving, I guarantee you flipped somebody off and screamed at them. And if there was a camera in your car and they took that one clip, you'd be like, whoa, that chick is crazy.
No, I wouldn't talk to the person in my presence like that. I might cuss at somebody else and have road rage to that person, but not the person sitting beside me. It shows I don't have a restraint.
Soraya asks, do I think AJ's actions are inappropriate? You have to be a little bit more specific on what actions. Do I think him smacking Luke in the ass and stuff like that? No, I think he's just joking around. Yelling at his wife? No, that's inappropriate. Everybody makes mistakes. I don't think it's a violent thing. I think he had a knee-jerk gut reaction. It's inappropriate, and he probably owes her a huge apology and things like that. In relationships, people make mistakes. You fight. I'm not scared for her.
Yeah.
I think it's a good edit of somebody who's more normal than everybody's giving him credit for.
The main question I want before we move on is, AJ, darling, what are you going to therapy for? That's all I want to know.
It could be anger management, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with going to therapy. Like, handle it.
Speaking of therapy, someone else that needs therapy on this show is our lovely Kate. Mm-hmm. I truly think she needs some therapy too. Become happy with herself so that she is not so tied to this blood-sucking manipulator. What did you guys think of Luke and Kate this episode?
It's
killing me because I'm really, honestly, truly battling feeling sorry for Kate. Oh my gosh, what did our extended panel do?
No, Kelly says, clarify to Mike the implications behind the question. I get it. I know what top or bottom is. I understand. I don't have personal experience, but I get it. Again, that's like a joke between buddies. Like, to me, it was if it was me, I'd be like, that's hilarious. I'd give it right back to him. Yeah. But that's me.
Luke and Kate this episode, though.
I get real comfortable with people really fast, and I don't mind joking around. Yeah. And he might be the same way, and Luke is definitely not.
Luke
is square. Luke, if anybody is creepy to me, it's really Luke at this point.
But this episode,
he wanted to stop the car and chop Kate up and like bury her somewhere.
Big time.
No, but that's my biggest question on this episode. Luke almost acted like in this episode that he had so many of Kate's secrets that he is genuinely trying not to say these things on camera to make her look a fool.
That's true.
And he called her out. It's almost like he was tired of it. He was like, look, I've been silent this whole entire time. You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And she didn't defute the drinking or any of that whatsoever.
She did. That's right.
Because maybe she really has a drinking problem. 3 glasses of wine is a bottle.
Like, no.
Champagne is 5
How big glasses. Is your glass?
And a wine glass is like 4.
But that's not the biggest thing to me. However many glasses you have, he says specifically that she blacks out. He said, you black out drunk where you don't remember anything like 2 nights ago.
Yes. Y'all, maybe he was.
Do we think she really... We said in News and Gossip that we had a very, very, very credible source that obviously we can't name on air. Someone extremely close to Kate in Philly that said she truly does have a drinking problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's really where this whole conversation has to start. Do you believe that she has a problem with alcohol?
Because what if this is a scenario? She got drunk, honeymoon night, she wanted to have sex. He didn't want to have sex, but he wanted to make her feel good. Then, remember last week I was like, why does he feel repulsed and dead inside? He yes. admitted it on the after show today.
He said it was not about the kiss. Sex. He said it was not the kiss that they were talking about.
She continues to have sex with him. He feels like trash. Maybe he knows that other people, maybe he doesn't know if they're going to show that she's a raging, I'm just hypothetically speaking.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't know the edit. Like, yeah, how that
and he doesn't want to look like he's just sleeping with this drunk woman. And maybe that's why he wanted to keep the sex a secret. I'm trying to figure this out.
Okay, look, Kate, all I'm trying to say, I'm just trying to raise questions for everyone in the live chat, in the comments afterwards, everyone here. The things that Kate is saying, do we think that she is trying to win people on her side and she's not telling the full story? Because I was thinking that when she was talking to the girls at first. Mm-hmm. And then Luke brought it up. He was like, did you tell... Pretty much, I can't find the quote in my notes, but he pretty much was like, well, did you tell them everything or did you just remove right. those pieces?
Right,
like,
right,
tell
right.
me what you really said because you like to do this.
Right.
So, and she didn't come back with anything. So it's almost like... When you're that silent about it and you don't come back to defend yourself, there's only one thing that we can assume, and that's that everything he's saying is true.
But it's still not healthy that he's into hiding everything. Like, he wants to hide everything. He wants to hide that they had sex.
Why?
He wants to hide.
Is he protecting her image? Is Luke protecting her image?
I find it really hard to believe that of these five or six times that they've been intimate, it's always because she's just plastered. And he just can't help but give in to her. Like, right. you know, even if that was the case on the first night, right? And mm-hmm. she was really drunk and she really put it on him and he felt bad, so he did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such an overreaction to run away into the bathroom and to be like, oh, I feel dead inside and blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, man. I don't know. It seems like a big overreaction. Now, on the flip side, mm-hmm. if you do believe she has a really, really bad problem, Luke goes from however we were looking at him before to almost pretty chivalrous.
Yeah.
And saying, she is going to wreck her life by having this open and out on the TV show. To the same credit, though, and we got to throw this in too, the show must be going out of its way
to not
show her being drunk
100%.
Because of how much time we see it. Or she is going out of her way to, as soon as the cameras stop rolling, she's like doing shots and immediately getting plastered. Honestly, I don't know what to think about this anymore.
I'm so confused.
They're both very strange.
Yes.
I think, honestly, my gut feeling, just like my gut feeling said that they were having sex off camera.
Mm-hmm. You were too right about
yeah,
that. That's,
I was like, how did you call that?
That's creepy right there.
TJ, it was like episode 3.
Yeah.
But my gut feeling is that they both have problems. Obviously, we could see that. But my gut feeling is that she does drink a lot. And she's probably legit. It was the mirror in front of her. Luke was her mirror in front of her. And she was like, okay, wow, well, maybe I do have a little bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to get better to stay married. She's trying to move past it. But she's still resentful to hold on to his flaws. Because when you have flaws for yourself, mm-hmm. and when you're in that resentment period, you can't do anything but look at the other person. So she even said it in the car. She was like, look, I'm trying to talk about intimacy, and it always falls back to alcohol. Mm-hmm. And Luke is like, yeah, it does, because mm-hmm. you might not realize it, but these things are tied. So my mm-hmm. thing is, I think she really does have problems. I think
yes.
her insecurity, I think her weakness in just settling, mm-hmm. even on honeymoon. Like, if someone tells you no, baby girl, be strong enough to walk the hell away.
If a guy ever said that he was repulsed inside about me, sleeping with
don't
me,
don't open your legs
you
again.
You will never get a chance to say
ever.
That again.
Exactly.
And she asked. She specifically said, I ask you even when I'm sober and you say no. Why are you still asking?
Because she's desperate. Here's the thing. Like, from what they've shown us about her relationship with Luke, there is nothing that is so magical about it that equals to what she says and the way she explains it to other people. Like, oh, he's so this and he's so that. And everything is just good except for this. And I'm like, girlfriend, like, her standards are so low. She's making herself look desperate.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't really be on her side anymore.
Sorry, Mike.
Like, come on.
No. I didn't understand the connection between the alcohol and intimacy.
Because maybe he doesn't. Who likes to sleep with a girl that's wasted? Like, well, some guys don't like that.
I understand that, but he made it seem like the two were unbelievably linked, and there was no taking them apart. But even after that, she said, "But I was sober this weekend,
and you
told me no too." So there's more to it than
because
just
he didn't want to have sex with her around people. He didn't know that people knew that they were having sex. So the people is what stopped him.
I just think he doesn't want to have sex. Period.
Can we go back to the very first episode? From the moment she walked down the aisle, he wasn't attracted to her.
Right.
He wasn't.
That's just the truth.
He just doesn't want to have sex.
He might have had sex with one of her friends at a speed dating event, straight up.
That's decently plausible.
You guys, I know we only have a couple more minutes.
What?
I know. It's like, it flies by. So obviously we're going to come for it in the comments. I do want to spend one moment on, rate these couples. Let's give Gold Star. We'll drop Gold Star in the comments. Let's rate these couples real quick. Everyone in live chat, drop your comments, your ratings. Keith and Christine, what do we give them?
They are my 10.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I'll give them 10 too. Screw it. Give it up.
Boom.
Growth all day. Growth all day. Growth. Jasmine Will, what are we thinking? I'm gonna give them a 6.
5.
Oof. I was thinking 6 as well.
Good.
6?
It's not looking
it doesn't
good.
Look good, no.
It doesn't look good at all. They have to move forward. Not necessarily sex, but passion.
They've got
to
get on the same page.
They have to get on the same page.
Exactly.
Steph and AJ. Mike, don't.
Okay. I'm gonna give them an 8.
Okay.
And I want to put this in with the caveat because I'm getting a lot of flack in the chat.
I
just want to say this. Everything that I've said tonight and in the past about AJ, I really do believe. But for everybody watching, I 100% understand and acknowledge the opposite side of it. I totally get it. I totally get what it looks like. I'm just saying my gut instinct on the whole thing, but I totally understand the people that disagree with me. I could see it that way too.
100%.
I give them an 8 because if they like it, I love it.
To be honest, I give them an 8 just because it's not bothering Steph enough yet, but if she's already expressed herself and stood up for herself, mm-hmm. as long as she does that and as long as AJ listens, mm-hmm. they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Last round, Luke and Kate. They're ridiculously...
They're still just a 1. It doesn't matter whose side it is anymore. It's a 1. They're just bad.
I give it a -1,000.
There's
I think
no
everybody
problem
else does.
With getting a divorce after knowing each other for like a month. Just, yeah, it's cool, man.
Nothing
it's just not right.
Infinity.
Nothing at all. So everyone in the live chat, thank you so, so much.
Yes,
124 people joining us. We will continue the conversation in the chat, in the comments, all that good stuff. Where can they find you, Mike and Carmen, to continue the conversation?
So good to be back. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and giving me that flack. I love it. I'll talk to you guys. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thieling.
Hey, guys, you can find me at Instagram and Twitter at King_Karma_.
All right, and you can find me, Takira Shabre, on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Shabre. Thank you, guys. See you next week.
Go make out with someone.
Do it.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.